Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics for the United States of America. I want to welcome you. We have an excellent program tonight. We're going to talk about where we are as a nation, about the 4th of July, and about our land, our nation, who we represent for the nation as children of the King. We are in desperate and trying times, and all you have to do is look around you and your own family and people around you to see that we're in those trying times, and God is telling us some very specific messages, and we have to have ears to hear and eyes to see to be able to receive them and know what to do. So tonight we're going to be talking about the 4th. We're going to be talking about, like I say, what's going on and where we stand. So let's go before the Lord. Father, I come to you in Yeshua's name with thanksgiving and a grateful heart. We've entered into the month of July, which is still in our season, Lord God, in praying the Hebrew calendar of Tammuz. And we want to thank you that you give us a foundation of your word to be able to know and understand and recognize the times and seasons that we're in. Lord, we celebrate this month. In 2 days, we celebrate our independence, and we have a declaration of independence that this nation is founded upon and a republic is founded also. I come tonight to bring a declaration of dependence on where we're supposed to be as a people, dependent upon you. So, Lord, come, open up our eyes and our ears, grant us revelation, knowledge, and wisdom, cover us with the precious blood of Jesus that no enemy can come and attack us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And that your glory would fill us to overflowing, that your spirit, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and minister life and life abundant. And we also ask, Lord God, that the host of heaven would come and join us and encamp around each and every person that's on the call and those that will time through call later and listen to it. I ask these things in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory, glory, glory. New shofar, new sound to bring encouragement to you and to summon the angels and the hosts of heaven and all of the kingdom that we have come to honor our Lord God and his word this night. And it sets everything in the heavens to attention as it does us in our spirit. I said a moment ago that I wanted to talk about the American Revolution. You know, we're in a revolution right now of sorts. We have a people that have risen up against common sense, against decency, against the word of God, and they are rioting in the streets. They are causing great disruption, and they're screaming that everybody in the nation needs to give up their arms and they should ban guns, yet they're the ones that are doing all the shooting. This week in Seattle, I saw in the news where rioters, there was a peaceful demonstration by the conservative followers of Trump marching in Seattle, and the Antifa people came in and threw homemade bombs, firecrackers, cherry bombs, eggs that they'd frozen, and were trying to cause injury and disrupt the peaceful march that was going on. Those folks didn't realize that most of those in that march happened to be veterans. So the melee turned quickly against them, and they ended up retreating a good part of the time, but many people were injured. And you look at this and you go, Lord, what in the world has this nation come to? Where are we as a people? The very foundation that this nation was founded upon was for an independence from tyranny. Yet the ones that are screaming for independence are the ones that are creating the tyranny today. In 1776, we celebrated 13 colonies separating themselves from Great Britain on July 2nd, the founding of the Second Continental Congress, where a resolution of independence, which had been proposed by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, declaring the United States to be independent of Great Britain, took place. After voting for that independence, Congress turned its attention to the Declaration of Independence, a statement explaining this decision, which was prepared by a committee of five, Thomas Jefferson being the principal author. And so often we look at this and we don't even know the stories behind it. I'd highly recommend each and every person to go to the Republic YouTube site, and also I believe it's now posted on our Republic website, and listen to the story that is given by David Hurtler. It's an excellent rendition of the history of our nation, and the latest one he just did, and it's outstanding. You know, in July in 1776, which will forever be remembered in history as the time when we declared our independence, and we took it as July 4th, although it happened on the 2nd, but it was chosen because it was taken in to the Congress at that time and voted on the 4th. But it, in itself, established something that had not been done. It was establishing that men and women in a nation desired to be free of the bondage of church and state. Now, the church that they were rebelling from was the Church of England, because that was the only church allowed over in England. And they came over here to get religious liberty. And at the same time, they wanted to be able to pursue their own lifestyles with a hope and dream for a future. And in 1777, the 13 shots that were fired as a salute one morning once again fell on July 4th in Bristol, Rhode Island, and in Philadelphia, the anniversary of the first significance of that July 4th, of recognizing July 4th as that day, took place. And after the 13-gun salute, speeches and prayers and music and parades went on, and it went on all day, and it was a great celebration. And God was saying, I'm setting you free, because the very foundation of this nation was for not just independence, but a place where men and women could come and stand with hope and deliverance and an opportunity as a new nation. You know, it's the busiest holiday for all of us currently. It's the busiest travel day this week, as a holiday nationwide. So as we go forward, be careful out on the highways and take a look at what's going around us. We don't want to start any revolutions or additional wars, but the battles that went on back in 1775, where very few colonists stood against Great Britain, which was an international force that was difficult to be reckoned with, they stood and stood their ground, and more colonists joined them, and they began to change the world. So as things heated up, there was war that lasted quite a while, and many, many men and women were destroyed, mostly on this side, but at the same time we defeated the British troops, which was headed up. The King of England at that time was King George III, and he symbolized the monarchy that was a tyranny, and the colonists wanted to get free. So as they celebrated and as they stood and went to war for the nation, God established this nation, which was founded upon the principles of God, that it was going to be a new Jerusalem, a new land, a new Israel, for God's people to come where they could worship in spirit and truth, and God honored it. So on July 4, 1776, the Continental Congress approved the final wording of the Declaration of Independence, and it became the document which this nation was founded upon and which it stood well for so many years. As a republic, we know what our stand is and what our position, but in contrast to that and to any other celebration, it is still marked the most important day of this nation and doing that which most couldn't believe could be done. Well, when you take a look back at the founders and who they were and what they stood for, one of the most important people was Benjamin Franklin. Now, he partnered with an evangelist at the time called George Whitefield. And George was the leader of the America Great Awakening at that time. Franklin was a non-religious deist who wanted to keep Christianity out of the public domain, like many of the other founding fathers did. But at the same time, he went and listened to this young man, George Whitefield. And he was so moved that he changed his position and wrote something that is very important. To quote, "I imagine we could do it efficiently and effectively without putting the nation at too much expense. What a glorious thing it would be to settle in this fine country as a large, strong, religious, Christian, industrious people. What a security to other countries and an advantage to Britain by increasing her people, territory, and strength in commerce, that we might be able to facilitate the introduction of pure religion among the heathen, if it could, by such a colony, and show them a better example and sample of Christianity." Well, he wanted to take and make this nation purely a Christian nation, and that's actually what it was founded upon. As a result of Franklin's friendship with Whitefield, the depths of Christianity grew, and this nation was founded looking to Christ for the answers. Now, Franklin's love and respect for Whitefield demonstrated the fact that he understood what Christ was doing for the nation, and he asked Whitefield to come in as his partner in business, and he became the printer of Whitefield's works, establishing what he thought was a pure religion for a nation, that it could come together and be a place where men and women could come and find a moral system with a stability of prosperity and hope for everybody that came. In his appeal, Franklin quoted both from Psalms and Gospels and reminded many people as he spoke to the Continental Convention 17 years after Whitefield's death that this nation had been established as a godly nation. Oh, how we've strayed. In the beginning, the contest with Great Britain, it seemed sensible to fight to free up a nation. And we did so with daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convenient proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire could not rise without his aid. We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that the Lord is the one that builds the house. And anybody else that tries to build the house without him builds in vain. And I believe this. I therefore beg ye, leave to move that, and henceforth implore that prayers of assistance of heaven, the blessings of our deliberation, be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed in business. He understood the importance of God and what God was doing and how we were to look at things. So in that, today, we look at the desperate need for prayer. We look at men like Lou Engle, and John's going to quote some of Lou Engle also. And in his works, he talks about Jonathan Edwards and his approach to this nation. And he said, "I command the awakening of this time be upon us, to be agreed upon in earth as it is in heaven. I command those who have been given charge over angel armies to take their place and release those armies. I command those who are here to make us complete to now be above and about the Father's business. I command his beloved to come forth. I command the angels' wings to be healing and that they will bring strength once again as they fly. In addition to this witness and into this courtroom, I ask that we would see the angelic highways be opened and paved by intercessors and their declaration and their faith-filled prayers as he has shown us in our lives in this nation, America. I'm just getting little excerpts from it. But God was saying back in the foundation of this earth and today that we build ourselves up in faith and resist all forms of doubt and unbelief, that we agree specifically with the commandments of Jonathan Edwards, released in the very council rooms of prayer throughout this nation, and pray that God would move on behalf of us as never before, as in the times of the founding of this nation, that he move upon the White House, that he move upon the Congress and the Senate, that he move upon men's hearts and lives, that they could be set free and see the hand of God moving mightily in this nation. Now, a key word that came out last year, and I quoted it last year, I'm going to bring it back again. This is from Chuck Pierce. He says, I hear the Spirit saying, I choose this place from sea to shining sea. In the midst of the seas that are shining, darkness has begun to reign. But now there will be a shining of liberty that brings in a shaking to the darkness. It will invade between the sea and shining sea, and in the midst of that liberty, there will be a glory that has not been seen before. Watch, and I will surprise you with my glory. From sea to shining sea, once again it shall radiate. Break the ties of discord and stand in all that it means to be his glorious servants. And God is saying the times are hard. And I had many calls this week. I had six just this weekend of men and women calling me because of the challenges and the problems and the hurts that they were going through. And believe me, I told at this morning prayer with my wife and our friend that's staying with us, Esther, I said it's hard to pray for other people at times because I hurt so much myself. How many of you feel that way? When you grieve, when you hurt physically, when doubt and unbelief floods you because the enemy wants to shut you down, and you know that God is saying, I'm going to lift you up. The enemy would love to keep us in despair because he has known who we are. And it's not time for us to lose sight of that. We are kings and priests, heirs and joint heirs, and by the very nature of God, our hearts are not to change. We are to continue to be who we are in these desperate times that God would show his light through us. And to the best of our ability, we have to press in to find our place of rest in him and recognize that by an attitude of faith, we will change the nation and the world around us. So don't despair. Don't give up. Don't let hopelessness, don't let despair or hard times or financial burdens come in and steal what God wants to do in your life. We have a cry of freedom that needs to be let out, and we need to pray in such a way that our Lord God would shake the very heavens in our behalf. There was a prayer that weekend, and it was talking about, Father, that our prayer would be that you would break off the spirit of familiarity that the United States has with the body of Christ, because when you have that spirit, you so often fall into a slumber. Some people call it a stupor. I call it a spirit of stupid. That we lay down our weapons and we don't pray and we don't go before the Lord. We don't seek him first, and I've been guilty. And this person prayed that God would allow once again the stirring of the Spirit to rise up in this nation, to go across every person, every household, that we would unite in prayer for the salvation of this nation, not just for the people, but for the land. Our founding fathers fought for it. President Jim Geiger said this a year ago. He says, our founding fathers often sought the divine hand of providence for guidance, protection, and deliverance. President Washington, Adams, Lincoln, to name a few, were called into the great judge of this world to intervene in such a way for this precarious and climactic times that we're in, without hesitation of the fear of man, they called upon the people of the land to humble themselves before the Almighty and seek his favor for the nation through prayer and fasting. Both before and after the nation was formed, they sought him to turn tides of war, to deliver us from plagues, diseases, famine, and wicked men, as well as to protect us and restore us when our economic ruin was facing us. All throughout time, heaven has heard the prayers of the leaders of the godly men and those men and women who sought after him to change the tide of the nation. Once again, we saw that with the elections. We've suffered greatly under the hand of the previous administration, and God heard our prayers and put a man in the corporate structure that would change the tide. Now they're talking about a tsunami coming, a red tide coming this election. And all of you that still can vote, vote. Get the liberals out of office. Get men and women of God in there that we could stand together and pray and celebrate God's hand upon this nation. That all lawlessness and abuse and unrighteousness that have ruled over us would be exposed and destroyed. And that God would once again say, I have not forgotten you. That the generations that follow us would hear the true stories of how great our Creator has been and how faithful he intervened on our behalf and the fathers who established the nation and deliver the people of America once again. Gone from our history books are the stories of the deliverance of the American people and how God's divine providence moved in protecting us and our forefathers. And our hearts have waxed cold and are calloused because of this. And our children have been taught lies instead of true history, instead of a godly heritage. And over the past decade, an awakening has begun, and we're part of that awakening. We get privileged in being part of what God's doing today. So our national treasure, which is our godly heritage, is where we need to stand and pray and expect God to move in such a mighty way that it will change the nation. The cry to make America great again is required more than what just a president can do, more than what President Geithner, you and men and women that are governors and congressmen and senators. It's more than what you can do. It's more than what we can do as intercessors and pastors and teachers. The battle is in a godly realm, not in the physical realm, and the spiritual authority we have is what will make the difference. Our assignment is to go forth. We've been sent to shake the universe as it would be, to recalibrate the kingdom through our prayers, through our worship, through our thanksgiving, through calls just as tonight, where God is saying the spiritual warfare that is about to be birthed is greater than anything you've ever seen. And there is a shaking coming to heaven and earth, and it's going to change the force of the universe and everything that's around us. If 12 could change the destiny of a nation, what can we do? It's our time. It's our time to accelerate. It's our time to break forth and reclaim our birthright. Tonight we're going to have people pray about that. We're going to stand on who we are in the position that we have and reclaim not only the nation but the land. Reclaim it. We've talked about it before. We've prayed it in the past on this time of year. And now, once again, it's time to release the anointing of God to allow us to run in such a way that we will jump over the walls, we'll break down the doors, that we'll set the enemy fleeing. What am I? Glory to God. God is moving, and we get to be a part of it. And in that, we get to worship in a new way, we get to walk in a new way, and we get to walk in the power that God has given. Out of Jeremiah, well, everybody loves to quote it. Jeremiah 33, God says, come call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you knew not. Well, you know what? It's time to call upon the Lord. It's time to ask him, show me what needs to be done. Show me how I'm going to be a part of this great, mighty army that I can literally fall on my knees and that I can get up and run upon the walls and overtake the horsemen and overtake the enemy and destroy his works in such a way that I can claim the birthright from all the enemy that has taken it, and we can claim it back for this nation once again. We can claim and proclaim and decree and declare that which is going to happen, the enemy has to flee. When we stand up in who we are, the enemy recognizes us and he runs because he doesn't want anything to do with us. We are kingdom children, heirs and joint heirs, more than conquerors, above and not beneath, and we've been given the right and authority to take it back. But it takes it upon our knees. It's going to be through prayer and supplication and decrees and declaration. And all through this night, we're going to do that. Part of it, and one of the most important things about it, is paying attention to the prophets and decreeing and declaring. And John Rockwell is going to be talking about those things. John, I surrender to you.
Well, thank you, Wade, and good evening, everybody. I'm going to kind of pare down what I have tonight just because I just feel the need to lift quite a few things up in prayer tonight just because of the season that we're in. And kind of what Wade talked about, the Declaration of Dependence. Our dependence, of course, is on Jesus. And that's going to be my main focus for this evening. And like I said, I want to devote a lot of my time to prayer, but I also want to open up the heavens tonight with some praise and worship. And to get that started tonight, there were some scriptures that were kind of going to lead into that particular thing that I'm going to bring tonight, a little bit of prophecy and some praise and worship as well. And the scriptures that I chose are kind of scriptures that are going to be in a song that we'll play here in just a moment or two. But most of them are out of the New Testament. And I'm going to start out in John. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, then you're truly free." He also says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ and has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve the victory through our faith." Romans 15:30 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me." And that, of course, is Paul. "Do this because you love me, given you by the Holy Spirit." And John 17:12 says, "During my time here, I protected them by the power of my name you gave me. I guarded them so that not a one of them is lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold." And again, my main focus tonight is being in Christ. Before we hear the song, there's a little bit of a prophecy that I want you to hear that really fits in for the times that we're in right now.
You know that you can gain God's blessing by the sweat of your brow. But through the favor, which is a crown, it's a crown. Through the favor of the King, he gives you his authority.
See, you get saved by grace. You receive favor. You wear it. You can't work it. But because you activate your faith that comes from grace, all of a sudden, favor comes down on you. Look at somebody and say, wear it well this week.
Well, it's time for us to take our place, and of course we're having Christ in us, and he is in us as well. And of course Christ is sitting with the Father at his right hand, so we are seated with him as well, and we have access to the Father just like Christ does. Just I'm not quite sure how all that comes together, but I know being in Christ we have the same access and the same protection. And Father Jehovah, as we come before you asking for protection for this country, he who dwells in the secret place, which is where we are in Christ of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, and my God, in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but shall not come close to you at all. Only your eye shall look at it and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on a high place, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation, which is Yeshua. And that's exactly what we're bringing to you, Lord, right now, is your salvation, your son, and your protection. And we want to have the protection that you guarantee to us in that particular psalm over this nation today and in the future, over the leadership and over the people that would want to harm this country. Have it come to naught, to where it will not happen. They'll be frustrated, and they won't be able to carry out their evil plots, because your people are praying to you. Your people are in your shadow of your wing, and your people are protected by you, the holy God, Jehovah, the God of the universe. And we thank you and praise you for your son, Jesus. And it's in him that I pray, amen.
Praise God, praise God. Matt's going to bring a teaching, Matt Freezer, and then we're going to do some prayer, and Matt's going to be praying also. Word came out today. I studied it this morning. I just want to share just a real quick with you as Matt gets ready. It's the race that we're in. And God is saying that we're going to run and we're going to overcome the chariots. We're going to overtake the horsemen. Yet we have to recognize we're not in a sprint. Our life in him is a marathon. And we have to pace ourselves in him and learn to rest in him as we go forward to retake the land. We're going to run through the land. We're going to run through the valleys. We're going to run over the mountains. We're going to jump on the walls. We're going to take back that which the enemy has stolen. Matt, turn to you, sir.
Thanks, Wade. You know, there's been a lot of great things already brought forth tonight, and one of the things that the Lord really put on my heart was honor. So every year this time, my wife and I prepare to host a family party on the 4th of July. It's a party that was started around 1955 by my mother, and she has since passed on, as well as many of the family members over the years, but their legacy lives on. We just attended an internment for one of the family members that was here last year, who was 100 years old. He was a general, three-star general, and they had the internment in Arlington National Cemetery. amazing to see all the color guards. I mean, there were so many people there. It was just crazy. And to hear the cannons go off 15 times on the top of the hill and just vibrate through the whole area, I mean, it's just breathtaking. And look at all the tombstones of those who have served and given their lives. What a picture of honor. That's what the 4th of July is all about, is honoring those who come before us. Romans 12 says, love each other as brothers and sisters and honor others more than you do yourself. That's something that's lost, its moral compass in this world, in this country. Every day we see the slander, the hatred being spread, and even threats against our president and government officials. Since when did that become acceptable? Thomas Jefferson said this, sometimes it is said that a man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. How can he be trusted with the government of others? And we see that. We see that undercurrent in our nation. We must learn to honor above all. We must get back to the foundation laid by those who give their lives. My wife and I love to watch every year the musical 1776. The actors portray John Adams, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, all the members of the Continental Congress. Very entertaining. Obviously, there's some historical facts also displayed in there. It's amazing to watch the struggle among the brothers to reach common ground. Certainly, John Adams was not very well liked by the people in the room. And it led to Richard Henry Lee to actually propose Declaration of Independence because of his unpopularity in that room. Interesting, the moment of the draft of the Declaration was submitted to the Continental Congress for approval, Benjamin Harrison rose to his feet and said, there's but one word in this paper which I approved, and that is the word Congress. There you go. Even then, it was trying to find that common ground. After a great deal of spirited discussion, pros and cons, 400 words were cut from that draft. In some cases, strong words were changed to weak ones. By the third day, Jefferson was seen writhing, but Benjamin Franklin, always the statesman, came to his aid, and he supported him. What is the old saying? The only thing we agree on is to disagree. No important issue than the issue of slavery was removed from that draft. You know, Jefferson wrote those famous words, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are liberty, life, and pursuit of happiness. I mean, we know those words very well. That one clause, however, that they removed, we know the outcome of that. There was many, many lives lost as a result of that. But it had to be. They could never get unanimous vote without those men all coming to the table. Those men put their lives on the line to sign that document, even though each carried their own interests with those signatures. It's the same we see in our political system today, special interests and beliefs and opinions. We have fractions within our earthbound governmental system. Even Thomas Jefferson and John Adams are two of our founding fathers who were on that Declaration Committee. They were close friends for much of their lives, but they fought. Once for 10 years, they went without speaking. Interesting, though, the Lord was overseeing everything in this nation. The sovereign, divine hand was upon this nation. Even those two gentlemen there, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, both died on July 4th, 1826, the 50th anniversary of that vote to approve the Declaration of Independence. God's plans and timing are perfect for restoration. And through it all, through all the bloodshed and all just the total commitment by our founding fathers to do and set the foundation. Many things have grown in this nation, but there's much to be done. I mean, as we stand here today, we're at another crossroads for the nation. Jefferson was right when he said, can he, meaning man, be trusted to govern others? Psalms 115 says, the heavens are the heavens of Hashem, which is Yahweh, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Human history has taught us many things. And yes, we have made a lot of mistakes over history, and sometimes we repeat those mistakes. But the greatest thing is our cry and our obedience to him, to the sovereign Lord. It seems the cries of many who prayed 2 Chronicles 7:14 were heard. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That is what's happening. That is the turn of events that we're witnessing now. He answered that. For a time, the ship is being turned around, but for his purposes, his plans, and sometimes in spite of us, of a people. There's much healing that needs to take place upon the soil of this land. There's been much bloodshed of the innocent. There's been far too much self-serving interest allowed from the seat of our government. There's been apathy for many, and most importantly, strong words were changed to weak ones, just as they did earlier, ones that do not line up with the plumb line of the word. But that is the thing the Lord is reinstilling in our nation through leadership and through the Republic for each of you that have so faithfully flew that flag of the Republic and the freedom and the foundation of this nation and prayed. It is the nation that's turning in the world. The Lord is doing it all for his plan and his purposes. This time it will not be incumbent of the stroke of the pen, but subject to the flow of the heart and the will being released through the spirit of his people. Ezekiel 36 says that he will sprinkle clean water on us and you will be clean. It will cleanse you from all impurities in your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. He talks about removing the heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh, one that can feel, one that can sympathize, one with compassion and love. Putting that spirit within us causes us to walk humbly in his ordinances and his ways. That work was completed on the cross, yet there's been a healing that still needs to take place in us, a nation, and in the world. Some 2,000 plus years ago, in a small town, in approximately 300 people, according to the historians, in Nazareth, Jesus gave his Declaration of Independence speech to the whole world and launched his ministry. In Luke 14, it records, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news spread about him through the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, that small town, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into that synagogue, and he stood up to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom, liberty for the prisoners, and recovery for the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed and captives free, to proclaim the Lord's favor. Interesting thing, he rolled up that scroll and he gave it back to the intendant. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened onto him. But he said this, he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In that day, he started his ministry, launched his ministry that would change everything for all of us. His voice, his mission, but yet they were not received by those in attendance. In John 1, it says he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. many have not received over the years. It seems, however well-intentioned our words, our precepts, and our declarations are, they fall on deaf ears if the heart does not have the capacity to receive. The battle cannot be won by enacting laws or precepts. History has shown us that. Laws govern the affairs of men, but not the heart. That is the battle that we're seeing unfold in this country right now. It's going to take the heart. It's going to take a move of the Lord to soften those hearts, and it's going to take us as intercessors, as kings and priests. Precepts received through intellect only produce knowledge, not wisdom. If we look at Proverbs 8, it gives us a clue. It's wisdom's call. It says, to you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have a trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. Boy, we need some of that. We need a lot more of that. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instructions instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. She is a wonderful thing. You know, the shadow government has always twisted the words and ruled from another position. Even as Satan said in the garden, did not the Lord say? So in this day, the kingdom shall come and his will be done, but from a higher position, his. Proverbs goes on to say, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the path meets, she takes her stand beside the gate leading into the city. There's the key. She's at the highest point. We must step up into him, into that high point, above all the noise, above all the crookedness. We must release his heart, his sound, his frequency in this day. She stands at that highest point. We must do the same so that we do not fall prey to deception. Just as Jesus told his disciples to keep watch and pray, that is our call to stand on that higher ground. 1 Corinthians says, we are the co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building, and by the grace God has given us, he's laid a foundation as a wise master builder, and someone else is building on it. We are the ones to build on it, but each one must be careful how he builds. Just imagine our founding fathers are now in the presence of Yeshua. You know, I've personally seen some of the glimpses of that. They are no longer governing the affairs of men, but changing mankind. They're cheering us on, imploring us to take it to the next level. Not one that's already been walked out, but a higher level of kingdom administration. And as Wade was talking earlier, the Holy Spirit took me to that little church at Ground Zero. It's the Church of St. Paul's that was built on the land granted by the Queen Anne of Great Britain. It was designed by architect Thomas McBean and just built upon completion in 1766. Listen to this. It was the tallest building in New York City. It stood in a field some distance from the growing port city to the south and was built as a chapel. It was called the Chapel of Ease. 10 years prior to that document be written, the tallest building in Manhattan was this little chapel, the Chapel of Ease. This same chapel during 9/11 became something more powerful even than that. it says the rear of St. Paul's Chapel faces Church Street opposite the east side of the World Trade Center site. After the attacks of September 11th, which led to the collapse of those twin towers, that little chapel served as a place of rest and refuge for the recovery workers at the World Trade Center site. It became the Chapel of Ease. And just as Wade was speaking, I pulled this up and I read this and I said, Lord, you are amazing. That is the same little chapel after George Washington was inaugurated the first president of the United States near Wall Street. He took some of his key members into that church and he prayed over this nation and he committed it to the Lord. What an amazing Lord we have. And yet there's work to do. Again, Romans 12 tells us to love each other's brothers and sisters and honor others more than ourselves. So tonight I want to pay honor to those men and women who risk their lives for the cause of freedom. There's a Hebrew word for that called kabod. It's a verb meaning to be heavy, weighty, burdensome, honored. That's what we're going to do tonight when we pray for all the women and men who founded this nation and gave selflessly for others. Their foundation gave birth to the land. And even though they weren't perfect, their foundation stood as a beacon, as a light on that hill, a shining light on that hill. And it's for us to carry on. It's for us to continue the work. And as the Lord's been showing me, we are connected so much in the heavenly realms. There's no separation in Him. Amazingly, the good and bad are all the same in His eyes. There is no separation. We are all considered beautiful. His love is unconditional. I get more humbled every time I encounter that. And the best thing we can do for each other and for this nation and for those men and women is to build on their foundation as the wise master builder has already shown us. Let us not buy into all the other things that are swirling around us, and let us not make the mistakes of the past, but embrace the love and the plans of the Lord going forward. Lord, you have heard the prayers of this nation. You have raised up a trumpet to produce a sound that shakes the corruption to its core. Lord, it's just like your way to bring about somebody that we did not expect to accomplish your purposes and your plans in a way that nobody expected. Lord, we pray for that sound of freedom to ring throughout this land, throughout this nation, from sea to shining sea. Father, tonight as we honor our forefathers who you used to establish this nation, we thank you for the great blessings you have bestowed upon it. Lord, we honor all those who have given of themselves selflessly for the cause of freedom in your name. Lord, let your frequency begin to resonate in the hearts of men, to shake them to the core, so that they may be able to see, that they may have the blinders taken off, and they may be able to be open to receive. Lord, just as your frequency begins to resonate in those hearts, Lord, allow us each to play our part in that. Give us divine wisdom and give us your plans and purposes. Just as the book Isaiah 61 says, Lord, it is being opened again, and you are drawing all people back to you into your fold. Lord, may it be released throughout Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. May your redeeming fire spread throughout the land to bring about the capacity in man's heart to receive the truth. Father, we pray for the fulfillment and the fullness of your release of the captives. Father, most of all, we honor you, Yeshua and Holy Spirit, for your faithfulness never leaving or forsaking us. Even though, Lord, we have not been perfect, your sovereign will and heart and intention has always overshadowed this land, and you have used it to touch all the ends of the earth. Lord, and as you are doing it in this day, Lord, we just turn our gaze and our intent and our hearts towards you, your great love that guides us. Lord, help us. Grant us your new mercies each day. And Father, may your liberty ring throughout the earth, and may your name be honored above all. In Yeshua's precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Powerful. Matt, you know, we always do communion, and I want you to hold, if you will do communion, I want you to hold it until after our prayers. Your prayers set the foundation, and John's, and I'd asked Governor Tim Mason to pray, and he's going to pray both in his native language, the Lord's Prayer, about the kingdom coming, and also about the nation and the season we're in. Governor Mason.
Okay, let me understand what I'm doing here. You want me to pray the Lord's Prayer in the Lakota?
Yes, sir. That's what we were asking earlier. If you're not prepared to do that, that's okay.
No, actually, I have it here. I'm just a little slow at reading that one. I would, if I may be indulged, to speak a little bit. Matthew 6, 9 through 13 of the NIV. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Atuni yapi, mafia ekta nankichi, nikaje wakan lapini, nito kikanji, uni mafia ekta toka nitowasin, I champi ki, he iacheo maka akano I champini. Ampe tu ki, oto iohi, aguyapi ki, ampe tu ki, la unki upini ye, na wa unta nipi, ki unka ki ki, Tanya Ije Unkitana Sika Sikaya Icha Kitampiki Ayeche Awa Cha Unkika Japi Nataku Wa Yi Uyata Unkia Unka Yapi Shneye Taka taku shiki ki utaha iyunga kupiye. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Do you have a word of prayer about the nation for the fourth?
Yes. If I may, I have three prayers prepared.
Yes.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your hands are the living and the dead. We give you thanks for all those, our comrades, who have laid down their lives in the service of our country. May they rest in peace, and may light perpetual shine upon them. May the good work of seeking justice for the oppressed and peace for all mankind be rewarded with success, that their sacrifices shall not have been in vain. And may we never fail to remember the awesome cost of the freedom which we enjoy All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty God, giver of all victories, we thank thee for the opportunities which abide in our land, for thy guidance in the hour of peril, and thy tender love in times of need. Help us to remember with reverence the valor and devotion of our departed comrades, not only those whose bodies consecrate our country's soil, but also those who sleep beyond the seas, and those others whose resting places will not yet be known until that last day, when the deep will have given up her dead. O God, teach us to honor them by ever cherishing the ideals for which they fought. Keep us steadfast in the cause of human rights and liberties, of law and order, and true Americanism. Give us the power to see and the will to do the right. Grant that this republic may preserve the high ideal for which our comrades died. May thy merciful blessing rest upon those they left behind. Keep us forever firm in the righteous, humble of heart, and unselfish in purpose. Father, creator and ruler of the universe, we ask that you will strengthen and protect the members of the armed forces of this United States of America. In the day of battle, may they be courageous and strong, resourceful and capable, resolute and victorious. In the time of peace, may they serve with dignity and honor as effective emissaries of good will for this nation. May their devotion and loyalty to you and to their homeland inspire them in moments of challenge and comfort them in tribulation and long separation from loved ones. And finally, we ask, Father, that they may return safely to serve you and our country in the days and years to come. All this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. One of my dearest friends, Francis and I, is Esther Slaughter. And Esther's, I believe, on with us tonight. I do not see. Are you on?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, I didn't see the number. We are studying and praying every day, and we went through a very challenging weekend in prayer. The war has been great. There's many people that have called, as I said earlier, and battled. And I asked her specifically to seek the Lord to see if he would have her to pray about where we are and about reclaiming the land. We, as a people, need to recognize that, yes, the first land he wants to reclaim is us, but also this nation. This nation was set aside to be a nation of righteousness. And as Benjamin Franklin said, he was a deist. He was not a believer. And he turned after the prayers of Whitfield and Whitefield, I beg your pardon, and called out to the Lord and recognized this nation need to be founded on Christian principles and be a place of refuge for the world. It has become that, and yet it has turned from that because the enemy has come in through the shadow of government and through the enemy to destroy this great nation. I asked Esther to talk about and pray about dealing with the wounding of the soul of the nation as we have talked about Katie Sousa's book about the wounding of the soul of us. What about the nation? And Esther got a word and a prayer for us tonight. Esther Sauter.
So, it's unmuted. Okay, thank you, Wade. Are you hearing me?
Yes, we can hear you fine. That's why I didn't recognize the number. It was you dialing in on
that
number.
Okay. Father, we just come to you to celebrate the freedom that first of all was birthed from the womb of our godly ancestors, giving us this much land of USA. We know that when America was knit together in the womb, that she received the blessings of those ancestors, as well as the sins that related to the wounds that our ancestors had in their souls. So we want to join with David, who understood the wounded condition of a nation, by crying out for our America, saying, create in us, create in the heart of America a clean heart once again, and renew a right spirit within us. Father, we want to decree that this is your land, and we ask you to heal the wounds of the soul of America. Heal her of every trauma, and wipe out all the iniquities and the wounds and the bloodline of our grand America. We pray for a revolution in the soul of America. Lord, we pray for the dunamis power to be released in our nation, that as you touch our nation, you will restore to her an excellent soul, that is, an excellent mind, will, and emotion, thoughts that will think the thoughts of God, a will that is determined to follow after the will of God, emotions that are the emotions of God Almighty. We ask you, Father, to heal America of all of the effects of bitterness that trauma has had upon the soul of America. And today we just repent for that bitterness in our soul, and we ask for forgiveness, for being overcome with bitter grief, with anguish, with disappointment because of all the traumatic events that we've lived through. We know your dunamis power comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we pray that every cell of our nation, just like the cells of our body, when we say, arise to new life, we say to America, arise to new life in Christ that is in you. We decree that it's healing the wounds of America. Father, open up those gates and the doors of the soul of America that have been shut down, preventing the dunamis power from flowing out of the spirit of America. We decree that Jesus has already shed his blood for every sin and trauma that closed down gates. But now we say that the dunamis power is being released to flow like a river of living water, making the soul of America excellent and free in Christ again. We decree that the blood is on every one of our gates, and we command them to be lifted up now so the King of Glory can come in with his dunamis power to heal our land and set her free again. We say, God bless America, and that the healed, wounded soul of America will again bless the Lord.
Glory, glory. Thank you so much.
Wow. Wow. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Chuck Pierce had a word and I'm going to swing it back to me.
John Rockwell.
Yeah. Chuck had a word, and I want to pray that word over us.
Get communion.
Lord, we can surrender our lives unto you. Purposes, way and will to be manifest. And in that, that your glory would be poured out in such a way that in the realms of authority and the courts of heaven, you would hear our cries. Lord, that you would transfer your favor upon us as we stand for this nation and for the people and for we the people. And that you would transfer your anointing that breaks yoke bondage. And in that, Lord God, judgment would be lifted from us. And as we come to intercede for righteousness for ourselves in this nation, that you would pour your spirit out and anoint it upon us and your people in such a way as that we would be changed in an instant and we'd never be the same. That we would not run from the enemy ever again, but that we would stand against the giants in this land who raise themselves up to oppose your perfect way and will. We choose to energize ourselves in your word and press forward in such a way and in such an understanding that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And Lord, that you are on our side and we recognize it, and that we shall rule and reign with you in a new and a powerful anointing and way, that this nation would once again stand for all that it means to be a land of the King, a land of your children, a land called out and a light upon the hill. Help us, Lord God. Whew, let your glory fall. Let your glory fall. Bring about a wounding, a healing of the wounding of the spirit and soul of this nation. Bring about a breaking, Lord God, of the enemy's camp. Bring about, Lord God, revelation and light. Let the light shine from us that will expose all wickedness, all corruption, all destruction for thy glory, and that you would drain the swamps, heal the land, restore the nation for thy glory in Yeshua's name. Matt, if you would take us into communion, I'd greatly appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. I'm going to start out with reading just a short bit of Ephesians 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, which is Christ, with a full view to administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth, in him. And as the prayers go forth this evening, I was just sitting there in the spirit, and I could see a red wave across this nation. It never occurred to me until those prayers were lifted that the gates of this nation need to be blown open by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the corruption and those powers that have been entrenched need to be washed with the blood. So as we lift this cup and this bread, it is in him. It is his purposes in him for the redemption, from the fullness of the times, the summing up of all things in him, in heaven and on earth. Yeshua, it is for you. It is your body and your blood that makes it all possible, your righteousness that washes clean. And as we are gathered here this evening, we just lift these elements before you, and we come together as one in you for your plan, for your purposes, and most of all, for your glory. We honor you with all that we are. Partake of the bread. And as we lift this cup, Yeshua, the cup of your righteous blood that was poured out for all of creation, not just mankind, all of creation, for the restoration of all things back to you. Lord, we stand in agreement with the prayers that have been lifted up to you this evening for this nation, for the world. And Lord, this blood, may your blood, the blood of your righteousness, be poured out. And we thank you, Lord. We honor you. And we honor all those who have served in your name. We praise you, Lord. Partake.
Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. What a powerful evening. I see that President Geiger joined us. He did not know that he was going to be able to, and I see that he did. Jim, I did read from the excerpts of your previous prayers and declaration to the Republic, actually over half of it. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Thank you, Wade. Let me just say this. I do appreciate, Wade, you doing this every week and ministering to the American people, and John and Matt, all of you very faithful to do this, and I appreciate it. It's a blessing to all of us, not just in the Republic, but people all across the country. So, Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here on this call tonight, and I just pray that you would bless them and their families as we remember our forefathers at this time. You gave them to us, and you gave us to them, so to speak. So we know that we were in their minds as they laid down their lives so that the stone kingdom could be established upon the earth. Most importantly, we thank you for your son that you sent. I pray that the blood of the Messiah, Yeshua, would be effectual on this land and on this people, and that you would once again make this country a light shining upon the hill. Make us a blessing to the other nations. Make us bring revival to this country. Be merciful to the American people, because, as you know, that we've been misled. Begin to open the eyes of the American people. Begin to open their ears. They might have eyes that see and ears that hear. And might begin to comprehend the glorious things that you've prepared for us as your children. So I pray these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I ask that each and every one of us be covered, my Lord, with the precious blood of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Savior. That the enemy may form weapons against us, because you said he will form weapons against us, but they shall not prosper. And that you shall give us strength and wisdom and discernment and rest in you. And that your glory would surround us, and that we should be like a light on the hill, a beacon unto thee, exposing darkness and a way for people to come home unto you. Pour out your spirit now, O Lord, and grant us rest and direction. Amen. I thank everybody for being here. A powerful night. Let the glory of the Lord be upon you, and let you find hope and rest in him. And with that, I say good night, and we turn off our recording.